you have your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we'll read the whole chapter. The title of my message is The Calling of Moses. I'll read from the Pew Bible that should have in front of you if you don't have the Bible. This is the English Standard Version. Okay. Let's give our attention to the Word of God. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near, take your sandals off your feet. The place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go up to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What should I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt, and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now, please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbor, and any woman who lives in her house, for silver and gold, jewelry, and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. May the Lord add a blessing to his holy word. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. Lord, we realize, Lord, that your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path.
And we thank you that your word quickens our hearts and our minds. It's by the foolishness of preaching that men and women become saved. And our faith only grows as we hear and read your word. And so, Lord, we pray now that you would grow our faith, that you would encourage us and strengthen us, that you would challenge us, that you would speak to our hearts right now, Lord, that we might surely take off our shoes because we are standing on holy ground. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Moses is arguably the most influential figure of the Old Testament. He is one that God used mightily. He used him, obviously, as our text here talks about today. He uses him to deliver Israel out of the Egyptians. He used him to give his Ten Commandments and the ceremonial law. He used him as he prepared Israel to go to take the land of the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Hittites and so on. Indeed, he is a very influential figure. As a matter of fact, there are many other religions that are not Christian that claim and seek to follow Moses' law, such as Islam and other religions as well. And yet, as we say that, we look at Moses' life and we marvel at how it all unfolded. A short bio of Moses, as you read in Exodus chapter 2, Moses was born during a time where Pharaoh wanted all of the male Hebrew children killed. And remember how Moses was born, where he was born and his mom didn't know what to do, so she made an ark and put Moses on that ark. And he flowed down the stream, and providentially, he was saw by Pharaoh's daughter, and Moses was raised in the house of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Moses' life can be broken up into three parts. The first 40 years, he was raised in Pharaoh's house and raised as an Egyptian. Moses, the Bible says, I believe in Acts, he was mighty in the teachings and doctrines of the Egyptian life. So he was raised in Pharaoh's house. He understood the Egyptian culture and the Egyptian way, but yet he was not satisfied to live the life of an Egyptian. He always had a burden on his heart for his people to free them from slavery, to free them from the tyranny and the oppression that they were experiencing at that time. Even so much so that he killed an Egyptian as the Egyptian was beaten, one of the Israelite slaves. He killed them. And the next day he sees two slaves arguing, two Hebrew slaves arguing. And the Hebrew slave says, "Who are you to judge us? Are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian the other day?" And Moses, terrified Moses. Pharaoh found out that Moses killed the Egyptian and he fled for his own life. He was a fugitive. And so for the following 40 years, he lived as a shepherd. He was a shepherd boy, a shepherd man. He took care of sheep and other animals, roaming the countryside, up the hills and up the mountains and so on, taking care of sheep and shepherd. And then the last 40 years, obviously, he was the leader of Israel. It's interesting that when we look at Moses' calling, in today's evangelical church, when we look at a calling, we look at it in the sense of that only those who are church officers are called, such as preachers and missionaries and so on. We call it full-time ministry. As a matter of fact, in some evangelical churches and other churches, they get young people, maybe 14 or 15, and try to sort of guilt them and make them commit to maybe a call to a missions, or a call to the mission field, or a call to the preaching ministry. In other words, only church ministry is really a calling. But fortunately, the Reformation and people like Martin Luther, John Calvin, and others debunked that, because We saw that there is not a quote-unquote spiritual calling, a sacred calling. All of life is a calling. God calls us to be married. He calls us to be single. He calls us to be grandparents, or calls us to be children or parents, or calls us to be engineers and electricians and a shepherd like Moses. God has callings on our lives throughout our whole life. And so really all of us are called to something. Oftentimes we wonder, well, what is my calling and what does God want me to do? Well, perhaps it's what we're doing right now. He's called us to live the life that we're living. And so this was the life of Moses. Moses here was 80 years old at the time, and he was a shepherd. So what do we see? We'll see three things really quickly here. I'm not going to be here long. The first thing that we see is that Moses worships at the burning bush. Moses worships at the burning bush. It was a regular day, a typical day, another day of taking care of the cattle and the sheep and all of the other things that go with it. And Moses looks and there's a bush that's burning. It's burning, but it's not consumed. And Moses was curious about that. Why isn't this bush being consumed? And Moses turned and looked, as it says there in verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire and said, Moses, Moses. He says, verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush. It said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. God reveals himself to Moses at this time. God had a task for Moses. And he says in verse 5, take off your shoes. Why? Because you're standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes because where you are right now, this is a holy place. And God shows his majesty, his power, his might, his glory to Moses. And notice what it says, that Moses was terrified. He was afraid to look upon the face of God. There are many people today who talk about they've seen God and they've had visions of God and so on. I don't know about that, but I know in the Bible, whenever you got a vision of God, there was terror. There was pure fright. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw God high and lifted up on his throne, he looked and he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst unclean people. Immediately he saw that he was nothing before God. And so Moses has a vision. Moses sees God. He sees the angel of the Lord appear to him in a flame of fire. The angel of the Lord, as most believe, is that this is the pre-incarnate form of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is speaking to Moses here. And Moses gets a glimpse of the Almighty God. When God calls us to something, when he calls us to whatever he wants us to do, he gives us a glimpse of who he is. When we come here on Sunday, we are coming on holy ground where God ministers to our hearts by faith. He speaks to us. We should see his majesty, his greatness as we sing the songs, as the word is read, as the word is preached. It should cause us to worship God, to see God, to see him for who he is. We all have tasks and we all have callings. We come here on Sunday to get a glimpse of who God is so that we might be bolstered and encouraged to continue our walk, to continue following God, to continue serving God. And so Moses here gets a glimpse of who God is. He says, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, God is telling Moses that not only, he says that I'm a God to all generations. I'm a God to your fathers. The same God who brought your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through their lives, I'm that God who is with you now. And God is a God to our families. Is a God to all generations, not to a God of our forefathers. Oftentimes we hear, you know, that how things were in the past, especially in the church, and how great it was and how wonderful it is, and all of the souls that were saved, and all the great preaching and so on. And we look back at that and say, boy, we would love to be living during that time. But God, the same God, is still God today. The same God is still alive today, still with us today. And so Moses gets a glimpse of God. He worships God. If we're going to do whatever God has called us to do, we need to worship him. We need to understand him. We need to serve him. We need to have a glimpse of who he is. We need to have the fear of the Lord. That's what helps us and encourages us and keeps us as we go through this battle. Well, that's the first thing we see. The second point is this, is that Moses receives instructions from God. Moses receives instructions from God. He says there in verse 7, he says, I have seen the oppression of my people, heard their cry because of their taskmasters. And in verse 8, I can't come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. In other words, Moses says he's seen, heard, and he's come to deliver them. He says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. In other words, the Israelites at that time were experiencing great hardship. They were slaves to the Egyptians. There was no way that they could be delivered at this point. They had no hope, no hope of freedom, no hope of ever being delivered. They groaned under the cruel Egyptian taskmasters. They groaned that they were being dehumanized. They were groaned that things were so bad for them. It's so terrible for them. They had no hope, no way of ever getting any relief. And this is what God says, I've seen, I've heard, and I've come down to deliver. What a nice application for us, that God sees, God hears, and God comes down to deliver. I don't know what problems you're having. Maybe you are grieving internally, or maybe people don't understand your pain or your sorrow. And that's part of the frustrations, that people don't understand the things that we're dealing with. Maybe they're not sensitive to the things that we're going through. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they don't have any feeling whatsoever about it. But God sees it. God knows, and God hears. Now, what discourages us is that God doesn't always come and help us instantly. That would be nice if he could come and just deliver us from all of our afflictions. But he doesn't do that. Sometimes we're called to live with these afflictions for a while because God has a purpose in mind. But even so, God still sees it. He takes notice of it. And he will do something about it in due time, as he did to the Egyptians. So part of the instructions that God gave to Moses was that God sees the afflictions and the trials that his people were going through. But then he says this there in verse 18. He says, and I said, I will bring you up, in verse 16 says, go and gather the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me. I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. So in other words, God is telling Moses that I'm going to send you to deliver my people out of Egypt. That's what he's saying. Come, and I will send you so that you can deliver my people from Egypt. Now, Moses thought about that, and he had surely said, Lord, maybe we need to have a conversation about that. Do you understand what you're asking me to do? So first of all, slavery in Egypt has been for over 400 years. Do you understand who Pharaoh is, how powerful he is? You've seen his army, you see his chariots, you see how ingrained slavery is. You want me to go and do what? To come and say, let my people go so that they can come and worship me? You want me to knock on Pharaoh's door and say, yes, Pharaoh, I need to talk to you. Surely Moses thought that was a preposterous, a crazy thing that God would ask him to do. Moses surely thought maybe 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when he was actually in Egyptian politics, he could go and get something done. He could work alongside a God, and they could work because he was part of that culture. He worked in Pharaoh's house. He understood it. But 40 years later, he's a shepherd. He has no more dealings with the Egyptian politics. He is 80 years old. He's an old man right now. And Moses is thinking there is no way possible that he could go and do something like that. What is God asking him? Why would God ask him to do such a thing like that? He says it doesn't make any sense, as he says there in verse 11. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? He says, send someone else that has more skill, that's younger, that has more energy, that has more influence. Me, I'm out here taking care of shepherds, sheep. I'm out here in the wilderness by myself doing this type of work. Why are you wanting to send me? Who am I that I should go and do that? You think Pharaoh is going to listen to me? It's interesting how often God calls upon us to do things that are beyond our strength and our ability. When you look at your life, how many times have you said, I can't deal with that? That's an impossible situation. Dealing with that person, a job, or my house, or a spouse, or a sickness, or disease, whatever. What's the first thing we say? I cannot deal with that. God, why are you putting this on me? This is what Moses is saying. Moses is saying, Lord, who am I that you will ask me to go and to do that? That's preposterous. That's impossible. It makes no sense. Moses at this time was 80 years old. John Calvin says of this that it is an absolute miracle that Moses was being a shepherd boy at 80 years old. Do you know how backbreaking of work that is? Going up mountains, down mountains. Maybe some of you like to go hiking and you like to go out to mountains and you like to do those type of things. And how exhausting that is. Moses did that every day. He had to sleep outside when it was hot, when it was cold, when during the winter time. It was lonely, it was boring. This was his life. He had to perhaps defend against other wild animals. This was Moses' life. And God is asking him to do something like that at the age of 80 years old. One of my favorite pastors on Sermon Audio is D. Ralph Davis. And he makes the point that after the age of 55, that oftentimes that's when we really experience more loss, weakness, and tragedy than any other times. Not that people under 50 don't deal with those things. They do. Some have serious afflictions and trials, but it's almost guaranteed because that's the last part, really, of our lives, the last phase of our lives where there is loss. There is sickness, there is death, there is loss of loved ones and sickness and diseases and all these things that we have to experience. And Moses at this time, 80 years old, notice what he says. He wrote Psalm 90. This was basically the same time that their age was about the same as our age. Because he says in Psalm 90 that the years of our life are what, 70 years? And if by reason of strength, 80 years? And so there is Moses now, 80 years old. Think about that. My dad is 81. He's very feeble. You know, think about Moses and his strength and his energy and so on. But the point of the matter is that God's faithfulness is to all people, no matter our ages, no matter how weak we are, and so on. And sometimes God calls us to do things even at the age where we think that we're not useful anymore. And so he calls upon Moses to go and to deliver Israel from Egypt. And Moses thought to himself, there's no way I can do that. And so he has an argument with God. I didn't read chapter 4, but again, that argument continues on there. He talked about he was not sufficient. He was not eloquent. He had every excuse why he could not do that. But yet God would not hear him. And it's an interesting thing about when God calls us to something, that this is where God wants us. You know, the world talks about self-confidence and having all of the resources that we have, and those things are okay. But sometimes God wants to strip us of all of those things, those assets, those abilities, those resources that we have so that he can use us. 50 years ago, Moses would have been gung-ho to do it. Yes, I'm in Pharaoh's house, I can do it. But God put him away as a shepherd, as a shepherd boy for over 40 years, stripping him of any of self-confidence, anything. Sometimes God takes us through stuff so that he can strip us of ourselves, because self gets in the way. Self is the biggest problem. Self is what hurts us, what hinders us. Sometimes God wants us to be filled with him through his power, through his might. Moses was going to have a difficult job. Comparatively speaking, delivering Israel out of Egypt was not the hardest job. The hardest job would be in the wilderness for 40 years, dealing with his fellow people who were often complaining, bitter, ornery, and so on. And that's where he would need his strength. Indeed, sometimes God strips us of all of our natural abilities, all those things that we depend on, so that we can be filled with his power, with his grace, with his strength, so that we can do it in his power. So this is the second point, that God calls Moses to do impossible tasks, like sometimes he calls upon us to do impossible tasks. But what is God's answer to that? He says, I'm going to send a big army so that you can go ahead and defeat Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Did he say, I'm going to get a whole coalition of people so that we can go and deliver Israel from the Egyptians? Not at all. He says there in verse 12, my last point, God's promises to Moses. He says, I will certainly be with you. That's it. I will certainly be with you. Does that bring you comfort? I don't think it brought Moses too much comfort. He was still thinking about, is that enough? I will certainly be with you. What does that mean, I will be with you? That I will be with you and I'll be there with you? What does that mean? He says, I will certainly be with you. People tell us that all the time. I'm with you. Well, what does that mean? In spirit? Is God going to be with him in spirit? Is God going to say, way to go, Moses. You can do it. Keep moving. Keep striving. You got it. I believe you. I believe in you. Here, dust yourself off. Get back in the fight. Like a trainer in a boxing match. You know, that that 1 minute where if you're cut, they give you the eye salve and they give you a ward and towel off and give you some more instructions. Now go back out there and fight. Is that what Moses is that what God is talking about? Not at all. When he says that I will be with you, it means that I will work through you. You will do this in my power. I will be with you definitely to comfort you, to give you encouragement, to help you. But when you're weak, I'm strong. You're going to see my power. I know you're 80. I know that you're a shepherd. I understand everything that you're talking about. I know that you have not been in Egyptian politics for 40 years. I understand that that you are scared and fearful, and I know how difficult it is, but I will be with you. That's what God says, I will be with you. And that's what he tells us, that he will be with us. Jesus said there, and before he went back to heaven, I will be with you to the ends of the age. That's God's promise, that I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, we do have trouble and trials and tribulations, but God says even there, I will be with you. I will not leave you. And that's what the Lord told Moses. And that's why Moses was successful, because God was with him. That was the key to David's success, that God was with him. And he said there, So that's his first promise, that he will be with him. But then Moses even asked that question about the promise. Well, okay, you want me to go to the elders of Israel and you want me to talk to them? Well, who should I say sent me? Tell me, you know, because we got to have some name. We got to have some muscle. We got to have some good people. You know, we got to name drop someone, don't you? You got to have somebody that you can say, oh, I know this person. I know that person. We all like that, don't we? You know, oh, this person. Yeah, I know this person. And I was friends with this person. And so you talk to some people and they will give you a whole catalog of all the people they know. Well, Moses says, well, when I go, who shall I say said? And God says, you tell them this. Tell them I am has sent you. I am. Verse 14. I am who I am. Well, who is I am? What does that mean? That means that God is always there. He's always been there. He is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He has no beginning, no end. He is unchangeable. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has all power in heaven and in earth. The world is at his footstool. He says that the nations are like a dust on a scale, which you just wipe off. He says, I am high and lifted up. I do what I will in heaven and earth. You tell them that's who sent you. The great I am has sent you. You know, when you kids, when you tell your siblings to come in the house because it's time to come in, it's one thing when you tell them I said to come in, but when you say mom and dad said to come in with authority, that's something totally different. And Moses is saying that you tell them that you're coming in the power of God and that God will be the one to deliver you. God will be with you. So you go and you tell them that. And so that is their Moses' comfort, that the great I am is there to help him. And the great I am is greater than Pharaoh, greater than the Egyptians, greater than the Egyptian culture, greater than this slavery institution. And God and Pharaoh will see it. Because what does Pharaoh say the first time that Moses came? Who is the Lord that I should listen to him? And then he also promises that he tells them this, that surely that it's going to be hard because Pharaoh's going to rebel. He's going to tell them, he's going to be stiff-necked. He's going to say, he's going to do everything he can to stop. So I'm preparing you now, Moses, that it's not going to be easy. Pharaoh will be there to resist. He's going to resist every step of the way. He's going to tell you no. He's not going to let the people go. But don't worry, because he says in verse 20, I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt. Not Moses. He says, I will do it. My wonders which I will do in the midst. After that, he will let you go. God says, I will take care of it. You just go and be faithful. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. That's interesting as we look at those last couple of verses. Favor in the sight of the Egyptians. For 400 years, Egypt had plundered Israel, taken away all of their possessions, taken away all of their humanity, made them look like scum, less than scum, and dirt in the world. And God says, now I'm going to reverse that. God sees injustice. He sees people who mistreat you. He sees people who hurt you. He sees people who wrongs you. It might take a while, but God's justice always takes precedent there. And he protects and defends his people. It doesn't seem like it at times. It seems like life is unfair. It seems like life doesn't work the way that we want it to work. We want God to work now, but sometimes he doesn't work the way he does. But when his time comes, when it's his time, he will deliver. And in conclusion, as we look at Moses, we realize how great Moses was. But a greater than Moses came. It says in Hebrews that Moses was faithful in the house. God says that, have you considered my servant Moses, the meekest man of all the earth? I talked with him face to face. They were friends. They were close. And as great as Moses was, one greater than Moses came. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses gave the law, but Moses couldn't save souls. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. Jesus is the King of Kings. Even Moses bows down to Jesus. And Moses was a type of Jesus. He had prophet, he was priest and so on. But Jesus is the prophet, the priest, and the king. And so if Israel revered Moses as much as they do, how much more should we adore the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Moses died. Moses is dead. He lived 120 years, but our Lord reigns. He lives forever. It says there in Matthew, I believe 22, that God is a God of the living and not of the dead. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob died, but God is still living. And God is the God of the living. And Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is alive. He reigns. He rules. He's the one that went to the cross and paid for all of those sins that we committed. Those Ten Commandments which we violated, which we read all the time. Jesus is the one who has come and broken down the wall of partition so that we can all worship, so that Jew and Gentile and whoever else can come and worship our Lord and adore him. He says in John chapter 4 that we will worship him, what? In spirit and in truth. He says the hour has come now where not in Jerusalem nor in any other mountain, but the mountain that we will worship on is the mountain of God, the mountain of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know this Jesus? Have you taken off your shoes metaphorically and realize this is holy ground, and that God has called you? He says your name. He knows you personally. He's called you to live this life. And if you don't know Jesus, today is the day that you need to call upon him and be saved. Call upon him and repent of your sins and follow this God, the great I am, who will do amazing things. We won't probably live as Moses lived and do the amazing things, but God can do great things through you. The devil seeks to always discredit God, show us that God is not who he says he is. But the word of God says to call upon him. He is the bread of life. Feed upon him and we will be filled and we will have eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the calling of Moses and also the calling in our lives. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to our various stations in life. And Lord, encourage us as we continue on in our stations of life. You put us in impossible situations sometimes to deal with very difficult people. But Lord, you tell us not to do it in your strength, to do it in our strength, but to do it in your strength. Bless us, enable us to do that. Help us and assist us in that regard. Lord, be with us. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.